are back with another Elsie's Little Pickles. This is so exciting. I can't stand it.
You make it sound like we leave. We don't leave. We just sit here waiting for people to listen.
Yeah, just staring at the screen, trying to decide what to talk about. Now, so I know you got some news stories. I do want to say real quick, before you even tell me what the news stories are, I don't want to hear about Trump, if that's one of them. I don't want to hear about Trump because a number of reasons. Obviously, right now, he's got his hush money payment trial going on in New York, the Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal, you know, journal entry bullshit that's going on. I will say this, I found these two pieces of information humorous, not surprising, but humorous. He got apparently very pissed off that it got reported that he fell asleep in the courtroom. Now, I normally wouldn't have a problem with that. But the fact that he always says Sleepy Joe made that funny to me. Because here he is being Sleepy Don. And so they started calling him Don Snorleone.
How fitting.
And then, apparently, while he was sleeping, he blasted ass. So then, they started calling him America's Putin.
Talk about gaslighting the courtroom.
They've got Putin, and we've got Putin, too.
The tootin' Putin.
We got a tootin' Putin.
Oh, I bet it smelled like diet.
Oh my god! According to reports, it was pretty nasty. Foul. Yeah, it was pretty foul. And apparently, even though his lawyers were trying to keep their composure and decorum after the incident, apparently it was a little bit more than they could bear. Shit! I wonder if they called a recess for that.
Can we get an air freshener?
We need one. Can somebody run and grab some of those car fresheners that look like trees? Hang them everywhere.
Get them a baking soda diaper.
Yeah, no, because then it would, poof, you'd see the trail.
it would give you evidence of, you know, proof of who it was.
Oh, so I don't want to talk about him, and I hate the fact that we opened up that I opened it up with him. But the fact of the matter is that you can't get away from he's like everywhere. Every headline, every day, there's something about him, and that was just the one thing that I was like, I don't want to talk about him. But this made me laugh, and I wanted to share.
I'll never get over the picture of him holding the glass with the two hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and like I said, I wouldn't have even brought it up, but for somebody that goes around questioning and name calling like he does, and especially with him going, you know, look, Biden is no peach by any stretch of the imagination, and I am not saying that. But when you name a guy Sleepy Joe, when that's his nickname, and then you fall asleep in your criminal court case.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I would think that you'd want to have, like, you know, a good night's rest ahead of, you know, behind you, you're bright eyed, bushy tailed, ready to go, ready to take on the day and ready to whisper in your lawyer's ears that you think that that's wrong or whatever. Like, you would think, you know, and I think that was just during jury selection, which, yeah, boring, but, you know, these are the people that are going to decide whether or not you're innocent or guilty. You might want to stay awake.
Yeah, he was criticized for not standing up when the jury would enter the room, which is customary. Everybody would stand up except for Don.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Didn't know that that was customary.
Yeah. And I'm just saying there's got to be a reason for it. Like, he was probably asleep.
Well, I mean, right there, that'll tell you the difference between me and good old Donnie. I did not know that that was customary because I have not spent any time in a courtroom.
And he has, so you would think he would know.
Yeah, you would think at this point that, you know, if nothing else, that his lawyers would have, you know, cued him in on that and said, hey, you know, when the jury comes in. Fucking stand up.
All I can think of is Happy Gilmore, the movie. Like, Mr. Gilmore, we're ready to tee off. Mr. Gilmore, could you please move? He turns to his caddy. Where were you on that one?
So, what do you have? What have you discovered in the last few days that's creamed your corn or tickled your pickle?
Sadly, one of the four horsemen has passed. Mm-hmm. Daniel Dennett.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I loved Daniel Dennett. I thought he was, you know, for those of you who don't know, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett,
Richard Dawkins,
and Christopher Hitchens did a sit down where they were discussing atheism, and it was called The Four Horsemen. A great title, great. Like, if you get an opportunity to watch it on YouTube, totally recommend it. It's a really interesting watch. These are big thinkers. Whether you agree with them or you disagree with them, they're all very big thinkers. And the loss of Hitch was bad enough. That was horrific. There are two celebrity deaths in the last, you know, 15, 20 years or whatever that have bothered me. One of them was Christopher Hitchens. Losing him, I think, was a great loss. And Anthony Bourdain. Those were the two, like, and surprisingly, I don't know about you, but those two caught me off guard. Now, Daniel Dennett, we do know, had health issues, so and he was up in age, so it's not, you know, it's not as tragic as like losing Hitch, but
for me, it's still a loss. Celebrity death that really irked me was probably Lemmy.
Yeah, I could see that with you. You really, really were.
And Joey Ramone, because I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no one did. I don't think. Well, I'm sure his close circle did, but you know, not, the public didn't. So, yeah, I would just say, you know, from Elsie's Little Pickles to the family, you know, but we don't, I would say thoughts and prayers, but that wouldn't work with them.
So, I think he would have found that funny.
Yeah, that's kind of why I went with that. Yeah, so, I mean, our sympathies, in, you know, for your loss. Atheism, though, is especially with those guys, it got to the point where like they were almost rock stars, and just like any thought or, you know, or like any celebrity, they got to the point where that bubble had to pop, and they had to fall out of fashion. So now you're seeing a lot of pushback on atheism. You're seeing a lot of that online. However, I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, in your opinion, we see atheism rising. We're seeing a lot more of it, which is good. I mean, at some point, hopefully we'll get to the point where there's no religion and we can actually start, I don't know, working together because it's in all of our best interests globally rather than having our divisions based on imaginary belief systems. And I would also add to that, like any good atheist, I believe, and I hate that term atheist because it's
I've always told people I'm the atheist. I hate the term atheist.
Yeah, I do too. I am absolutely willing to believe as soon as you can show proof. And that doesn't mean showing me a tree or saying, hey, look at this picture of this beautiful sunset or sunrise. That's not proof of God. Show me proof. Show me.
Have you seen the video of the woman holding the cabbage? I think it was a cabbage or something like that, a red cabbage. And you know, she cut it open and it's got an intricate design inside of it.
Oh, and it was Jesus or Mary Magdalene. Like,
you can't tell me that there's no God. Look at just this. And even the dog is staring at her like,
you're out of your head. Yeah. I think that when it comes to religion, I think that we're all looking for, well, I think that what religion keyed in on, specifically the Judaic, or not Judaic, but the Abrahamic religions, so Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, I think what they really keyed in on at an important time were several factors. One, they knew that everyone was afraid of what happens after you die, and they that's kind of like the key to unlock the door of if you're afraid of that, I can probably get you to believe damn near anything. Then there was the other aspect of, if you believe in this, then you believe the idea that there is an all-powerful entity that is watching everything you do. And so if you fuck up, even though you may not get in trouble, well, that is a good way to kind of rule, especially bronze-aged world. You know, like, you might get away with it and not get in trouble by, you know, authorities or government, but you're going to pay for that fucking mistake later. So it was a way to keep people in line.
Yeah, it's not faith, it's coercion.
I agree. It's coercion, it's brainwashing. That's why, like, you know, I wouldn't have my son baptized. I never took him to church. I got a lot of shit for that, you know, from different family members, including mom and dad. But in the end, I was like, no, until he's 18, he cannot make these decisions. It's his soul, it's not my soul. If you believe in a soul, like you say you do, then you have to respect that decision to give him the opportunity to grow up and make his own.
Plus the premise that, oh, he passed away. Well, he's screwed. He didn't get baptized. Doesn't matter what he did.
Yeah.
How he lived his life. He wasn't baptized.
Yeah. That.
No, I'm sorry. Really, an all-powerful being is going, oh, I can't see him because he wasn't baptized.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's just stupid. You know, and the idea of it being so, you know, so sensitive. If you don't believe in me and swear that you believe in me and give your life to me, then I'm not going to be any. All right, look, if that's the kind of God you are, well, you're not the kind I want to be around. So but you know, you got to give credit where credit's due, and credit is due to the fact that they were kind of the first ones that were organizing hospitals and medical care. So it was our first foray into, you know, philosophy and medicine. And, you know, it was, you know, basically stupid apes trying to figure out how the world works. We didn't have, we didn't have the science. We didn't have the technology. And you know, great.
I don't know why I did the underarm thing. Like, I don't anybody know. Can see me do that.
Yeah, you were doing the monkey underarm scratch. I was just going to let it go, but I figured that was how you got in character.
You see me do that all my life.
Yes, that's childhood. True. And I've also seen you climb the fuck out of a tree. But here,
my butt.
So my question, I guess, is we're seeing in many ways, like if you look at social media online, there's a lot of religion in the news, whether that's because of Israel and the Gaza Strip, whether that's Christianity, whether that's traditional wives, whether that's traditional lives, whether that there's just a lot of Christianity in social media right now. A lot of people trying. There was that chick that was on OnlyFans or whatever who said, you know, I'm out, going to become a Christian. I believe Candace Owens just got. So you're seeing like this little bit of a revival in Christianity and in religion in general. But I think
it's very small, though.
I think it is
the largest sloping downward branch of people.
I think, though, that, you know, and you know, I don't have anything to back this up. This is just based on observation, my own personal observation. I think what you're seeing is the people who were on the fence maybe are leaning to one side or the other. And because they have some sort of social platform, you know, whatever that may be, Twitter or Twix, you know, Facebook, whatever, if they have any number or large number of people following them, it gets spread more. And then you have more opinions. But it does seem like it's a small group. It seems like you got like, it's same with the anti or with the pro-life movement. You've got like a core of maybe 10 people that are posting incessantly, and sometimes people agree, sometimes they disagree, whatever, but you're getting more
all in all
people talking.
It boils down to they're becoming a minority, and they're afraid of being that minority.
I agree.
It's almost as if they're afraid of being a minority because they know how minorities have been treated by them.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing is like it does feel like this kind of a death gasp, trying to get more people involved in the church. But I think as science and technology and education and space exploration moves forward, I think it's more difficult for people to swallow the bullshit. So even if you say, you know what I mean? Like even if you say you're a Christian or, you know, whatever, I think I see it more with Christianity though. I think where people can say that they're Christian and they go, yeah, but I'm not that kind of Christian. Like, I don't buy that. I don't buy this. I don't buy, you know, like they can almost.
I'm
like,
not that kind of.
Well, you know, kind of like what the Catholics call cafeteria Catholics or Catholic cafeteria Christian, you know, just pick and choose what you like. I think that is still happening. But I really think that what people are looking for. Well,
I would see that would be all of them because they all pick and choose what is verbatim, what is to be taken as a literal word of God. Oh, but that negative verse, that's just an analogy. That's a story.
Yeah, that's a metaphor. That's a parable. You got all kinds of words for that bullshit. But I think what's going on actually is you're seeing people go to the theater, or, you know, they're going towards entertainment as a religion. I think that they're seeing the stories that they need and the moral examples they need in the stories that they're watching. So like, I'll give you a perfect example. Okay. Both the DC and Marvel universe catch shit from people.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't think it's justifiable, but they catch shit from people because they're just popcorn movies. But I would argue that they are our modern mythologies. And in being our modern mythologies, they're actually telling better, more entertaining stories with parts of those stories that stick with you more morally. Okay? So when you see the character arc of Tony Stark go from this weapons building billionaire playboy philanthropist to when you get to Endgame at the end when he, spoiler alert, Tony dies. That character arc over all of those movies shows you how, even subtly, because everything with Tony Stark and how Robert Downey Jr. played him was subtle. There were subtle shifts in who he became each movie. And I think that those stories, and I'm not, you know, so some fucking idiot will hear this and go, well, you're comparing Iron Man and Tony Stark to Jesus Christ. No, I'm not. I am absolutely fucking not. All right. And not because it's disrespectful to do so. I'd happily do that just to be disrespectful, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that those stories don't, in the Bible, don't necessarily translate well into today's age. Whereas learning how to be a little bit better person every single day or every single movie or every single episode, I do think that that's the story that people want to see. They want to see the story of redemption, the fact that you can be a fuck up and then become better and even become admirable to all of your circle or everyone who knows you. I think that that's actually the story that should have been kind of emphasized in the Bible, but doesn't necessarily get emphasized. You know what I mean? And it may be just because Jesus didn't have pulse fucking weapons coming out of his hands, which would have been cool. Would have been cool because he had the holes. Would have been cool.
We all know what those holes were for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Yes, indeed, we
do. I do believe it was Captain America who said to Tony, Are you the type of guy that would lay down on that wire so the guy behind you could crawl over your body? And Tony quite calmly said, no, I would simply cut the wire.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then he got the response of, there's always a way around it. Or how did Captain put it? You're always looking for the easy way out.
Yeah. Everything special about you.
Yeah. So.
Without the suit, what are you? Brilliant billionaire philanthropist.
Yeah. Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist. It was a great line. And again, I don't want people to mistake that I'm making the comparison to Jesus. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm saying is that the storyline for the morality play that everyone seems to be trying to be the star of may be better served through DC and Marvel. So even if you look at Batman, right? That's no matter how you look at Batman, he's a vigilante. That's not acceptable. That's just not acceptable in society. So I love Batman, by the way, but no one should like Batman. You should appreciate the idea of the story, because the story is, even though he's doing something totally fucking wrong and illegal, he's trying to make the world a better place. And he's trying to do it without any guns.
So what's your superpower again?
Yeah, it was the best. When Ezra Miller as the Flash gets into the car with the pizza and he goes, what's your superpower again? I'm rich. And then he just takes off in that fucking kick-ass car. But isn't that, I mean, look, you can look at some of the most devout people. And I don't think when you're looking at them, so let's say you got a pastor, priest, whatever, right? Right. Let's go with a pastor. He's married, family guy. If he actually had to fully in this day and age live according to the way that Jesus lived, I don't think that's fucking happening. Do you? I don't think it's possible.
No. I don't think it's possible for anyone.
You know, I mean, that's why I always go back to, even if Jesus was a historical figure, which I have my doubts. But let's give the benefit of the doubt on that one and say that Jesus was an actual historical figure. And you actually had to live the way he lived. You know what I mean? Could you do it? I don't think anyone could. Honestly.
Hanging out with prostitutes and gamblers.
Yeah. Hookers and blow. But I mean, like, I'm talking about from the point of view of you. There was a Southern, I think it was Southern Baptist pastor, preacher, who delivered the Sermon on the Mount and afterwards had a couple of men from the congregation come up to him and say, you need to back down on that woke stuff. And he goes, I'm sorry? And he goes, and he left the church over this. They go, you're preaching woke mentality. And he went, no, I'm not. And they go, what was all that? And he goes, the Sermon on the Mount, that was the sermon Jesus gave. That has nothing to do with me. It's in the Bible. But that's where we're at in society, where, like, I don't think people who think they're Christians could actually be a Jesus-certified Christian. Like, if you had to go through Jesus certification, you actually go to, you know.
What they want is the angry, vengeful God of the Old Testament.
I think that's true. I think in a lot of ways that's true. It's like people want to see, they want to see that they're right.
They want to see people that they don't like suffer.
And punished.
Yes.
Right?
If you don't do what I want you to do, you're going to get punished.
Which you could put into a Batman movie. Right? Right? It just doesn't fit.
Who are you?
Yeah. I couldn't hear you on that one because you got too far from the mic. Who are you?
I'm Jesus.
So I wonder, like, from the point of view of how people are dismissing Well, Scorsese was a perfect example. He just totally dismissed the whole Marvel universe.
He said Marvel movies are not cinema. They are just a theme park ride. Obviously, I disagree with that. I a firm believer that, you know, Scorsese was talking out of turn. Sure, he's a great director, writer, producer, whatever his current role in movies is.
And, you know, he's,
God forbid, thank you very much. You're absolutely right, Martin Scorsese. Please, by all means, make another Ma movie. It's just, if you did not feel anything when Thanos says to them, I am inevitable, and you know, snaps his fingers and nothing happens, because Tony, you see him lift his hand, the jewels move into position on his suit, and he says, and I am Iron Man.
And it snaps,
It snaps, and he's dying at that point, you know, after the snap because of the power. If you don't feel anything, I don't know what to tell you. If you didn't feel anything when, after the funeral for Tony Stark, his daughter is sitting on the porch with Happy, played by Jon Favreau, and Jon Favreau's character looks at her and says, hey, are you hungry? What do you like to eat? And she's like, I like cheeseburgers. And
you, which is, you know, for those who don't know, that's a callback to Iron Man 1.
Yes.
Where he was eating Burger King cheeseburgers.
And Happy looks at her, then looks away and does that hard lump throat, you know, swallow, and tries not to lose it, and says, I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want.
Yeah. So like, I know we're coming at this from an odd angle, talking about religion and Jesus and Marvel movies and DC movies.
Well, it makes some sense, because there's a part of me that really feels like the, what we call the biblical text nowadays, maybe was not really supposed to be a religion. I don't know, but it makes me wonder sometimes if 1,000 years from now, a society will find the Marvel movies and think that it's, you know,
or any, or like literally anything, they could find a book, you know, they could find, it could be Lord comic of the books. Rings, you know what I mean? A comic book. It could be, you know, any number of things that future societies that, you know, come, you know, look, the Dead Sea Scrolls might've just been a book back then, you know, like it might not have been that, you know.
Well, let's face it, the Council of Nicaea back in the day removed everything that was a little questionable, didn't fit the paradigm,
right? And then you got the apocryphal version. But
my dog just pulled a Trump. My god,
shit himself.
Oh dear lord.
Dude, I can smell
that's making my eyes curl.
I can smell that across Zoom.
Oh my gosh, that's like rotten onions. What did you eat? Oh god. Holy smokes. I think you just set the couch on fire. Oh. And he's just sleeping away like nothing happened.
That's why I don't like dogs.
It's the salted meat. My lungs are screaming, why?
Cats don't fart like that.
Oh, you want to bet?
Well, we could go back to Lucky.
Remember Lucky?
Yeah, I was going to say, we could go back to Lucky, but that was a bit of an anomaly with that cat.
I've had cats, and they have had some pretty raunchy gas.
Yeah, but nothing like Lucky.
This dog.
Nothing like
Holy
Lucky.
Holy crap. He just shit in my nose.
So anyways, I mean, back to the
that's
point.
What a fart is. It's poop without the physical part.
All right, so back to Jesus.
That, Marty, we and it's just lingering.
Dog
I've
farts.
Got a fan on above me, venting going. Out, and it's not going anywhere. The stench is so heavy. Way down.
I'm still a bit dealing with the idea of transitioning from Jesus to dog farts and back. So Scorsese says that they're just popcorn movies and that, you know, they're not real cinema. I disagree with that. I think that And actually, it was an interview with Tarantino that helped me wrap my head around where Scorsese might have been coming from. Because Tarantino was like, look, do I like these movies? Yeah, I do. Do I like them as much as I would had I been younger when they came out? No. He goes, I grew up a comic book fan, and then I developed other interests, and in those interests was cinema. And when I got really into cinema, I was a child of the 70s and 80s. So I was looking at the, 60s and 70s genres and early 80s genres. And that's what influenced me because that's what I was going to see at the time. That makes sense. And he said the same thing about Scorsese, saying, look, you got to understand, he was coming up, he grew up in New York. He grew up, surrounded by, mob, hardcore, because we're talking now probably, the 40s and 50s mafia, which is a little different than modern day. Maybe a touch more hardcore, maybe a little bit more on the street. And he was also probably seeing like Busby Berkeley movies where they were doing, water ballet and shit like that. He was seeing classics, with something with, like Singing in the Rain or a Danny Kaye movie or whatever.
There is an everyman aspect to Tony Stark, regardless of his wealth and brilliance. There were things that helped the audience identify with him, like in the one movie, I think it was the third. Yeah, it was the third Iron Man. He's having dinner with Rhodey at some restaurant, and you see the Iron Man suit is parked outside.
Yeah.
And he has a panic attack
and goes
runs out to his suit
and feels better.
And he had a panic attack because he has PTSD, but he goes to the suit to feel safe and to check his vitals. But it's the idea of, go to a Hooters or whatever.
Well, it's not just that. I think you make a good point there that it shows, again, this is part of his character arc. When he deals with the kid and the kid's like, well, aren't you a mechanic? And he's like, oh, yeah, I am. I guess I'll fix it. Like the idea of how he went from...
For Tony, it was PTSD. For Captain America, Steve Rogers, it was the duality of American justice. That fine line, the double-edged sword.
Yeah, that blindly being patriotic and believing the bullshit versus going, no, wait a minute.
Hawkeye.
Same.
Hawkeye had the issue where he was dealing subtly with, he's got no superpowers. He's just got great aim.
Right.
But part of that is taken away his everyday life because he's losing his hearing. I don't know if you saw the series.
Yes, I did.
But he can't hear.
Right.
Because of all the explosions and stuff.
Well, not just that, though. I thought that one of the more, when Hawkeye was announced as one of the characters, I'm like, ugh, this guy, no superpowers. He just good aim and a lot of arrows. But the fact that they were self-aware of that, and in, I think it was the first Avengers, where he turns to Scarlet Witch and is like, look, or maybe it was Age of Ultron. But he goes, look, I'm here with a bunch of arrows. None of this makes sense. And it's like, okay, all right. So
it was a lot like Budapest. You remember Budapest, very different.
Yeah. Like they were very self-aware. And I thought that that was one of the best things that you could put in a movie like that. And that's one of those things that I think is missing in a lot of religion, is the idea that they're just not self-aware. And that if you, mind you, if being a religious person helps you get through your day, I'm not going to take that away from you. Okay. Just don't try to force it on me. And when I'm having a bad day and I want to sit down with fucking, Iron Man, don't try to take that away from me.
I think the other beautiful part is Scarlett Johansson, her character, and it's her reaction to Hulk, Bruce Banner, turning into the Hulk. And for the first time, you get to see that she is terrified.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing that she could do. she's in trouble.
Yeah, here's the I will make a plot point issue on the whole Hulk Scarlett Johansson thing. Mm-hmm. The hey big guy, sun's getting low. What the fuck was all that about? I know it was supposed to mean like, oh, we're gonna calm you down and make you into Bruce again. But well, like
it's a statement to Hulk to calm him down, kind of like the Winter Soldier and the series of words that mind control him.
Yes.
They need to do a better job of explaining that with Hulk.
I think if they would have just explained it, like, I don't need it removed. Just fucking help us out. You
and
know,
the,
like
they brought that back again for the scene with Thor where he's like, the sun's going down. The sun's going down.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, self-aware, and they made it funny. Yeah. What I think people don't realize is that whether you're talking about Batman, Superman, Iron Man, or any of these, I mean, ultimately they all fit kind of an archetype. And it's not a big stretch to say that this is the pantheon of gods, you know, or demigods or demigods. And I think that that's what kind of, to me, seems cool is the idea that in general, you know, unless you're talking Superman, Wonder Woman, you know, the list could go on and on. But in Marvel, at least, it's like, okay, I can get behind a guy that gets bitten by a radioactive spider. You know, that's a leap, but I'll make that leap. I can get behind the idea of a serum for a super soldier. That makes sense. All right, I can go with you on that. I can get behind the idea of, you know, a billionaire kid that has his parents killed in front of him and becomes a vigilante. Like, these are all human. Humans doing extraordinary things. Iron Man is another example. Billionaire.
Cause and effect.
Yeah, a cause and effect kind of thing. It becomes a little bit more difficult when we start talking about Superman, for me, because that's too much like, just like a god. And if you think about it, potentially we could all be Superman. Okay, so let's say that Elon cracks the time travel, or you know the speed of light. He figures it out. We get wormholes. Now we can travel the galaxy. I mean, we're totally going Star Trek, right? Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that somewhere in the universe there is a planet similar to ours, in every aspect except for its gravity isn't as heavy.
Yeah.
Bless you. So if that's the case, if we ended up on that planet, we would be ridiculously strong because the you know, we're used to a heavier gravity. We potentially could fly or at least jump very long distances. You know what I mean? Like, so that one I can almost kind of get my head around.
Well, there are other Earths. I think we discover between 25 and 40 class M planets every day. That's Earth-like planets to the non-scientific.
Well, yeah, but even with that, the variables, so it could be, you know, something as simple as too high of a sulfur content in the atmosphere, and we wouldn't be able to.
It smells like farts.
And everything smells like farts. We call that the Trump planet. So, you know, I just don't think that these things get, you know, enough credit. It's like the guys who got pissed off at Star Wars when they did the prequels, right? Now, granted, when I saw Star Wars, I was a kid. I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old. Okay.
Yes.
And then when I saw them, you know, in, what was it, 99, 97, whenever they, I think it was
99.
Phantom Menace came out.
Yeah.
So clearly I'm a lot older and I'm looking at it as an adult. But the difference is that I knew going into it that the whole point of what George Lucas's storyline was for children. It was meant to be enjoyed by adults, but it was made for children. So I was able to get past. Yeah, even though I didn't like Jar Jar Binks, I understood the point of Jar Jar. even though I didn't maybe like some of the dialogue or storyline, I understood that he was building this world.
I remember people being so angry. Oh, they did Jar Jar just for the kids. It's lame. I'm sorry. What were Ewoks?
Right. They were just as lame, if not more lame. And in fact, I remember even back in the day when we went and saw, you know, Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, and they brought out those fucking Ewoks, I thought, oh, come on, now I've outgrown this. You know, and I wasn't that much older.
They're cute and cuddly until you realize they would eat the people, the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
That was subtly laid in there.
I didn't know that was actual fact, though. Is that a fact? That they
why do you think they tied up Princess Leia and Han?
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know about...
They're going to eat them.
Oh, that's true, Until
they got C-3PO as their guy.
Yeah, you're right.
No.
You're right. He sat up and they all went, oh, the golden one.
Yes.
You know, I just don't... Like I said, I don't think that people are... I don't think that people who are religious are bad people. I think that they are misguided and oftentimes find themselves in the position of going, God's on my side, so I can't be wrong. Right? And my argument against that is...
I don't mean to derail this, but should there be a Star Wars movie with the Chewbacca type? Raise the Wookiees.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should make one and have no.
Just the whole thing's.
That's right. Yeah, just an hour and a half.
I don't know that would do so hot.
Why not?
I think you might get a good opening weekend. And then it goes sideways from there. And it wouldn't even cover the fucking costumes. Like, do you have any idea how... I bet you a Chewbacca...
What Lucas needs to do. He needs to troll some of the assholes in the Star Wars fandom. Just make an entire Wookiee movie. Just Wookiee talk.
See, he did that with the Christmas special back in 78. He trolled everyone with that. And they're not even allowed to talk about it. That's how bad it was. They're like, you can't even bring it up. So, like, Harrison Ford is up in a... interview and they brought that up and he's like, "No, what you're talking about? I never heard of it."
That was hysterical.
I don't know. Like, I think that the reason why you're seeing a decline in believers is because obviously every day there's new discoveries made. There's new science that it becomes irrefutable. And for the atheists out there, I think we are of a singular mind when it comes to just this. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just asking you to prove it. And I'm not going to participate in your delusion until you do prove it. But that, man, that's the thing, is having God on your side, that's a powerful drug, dude. That's a powerful drug. You can't do anything wrong. I am empowered by
Super
Christ.
Bowl MVP. Thanking God for letting his team win, which, you know, does that mean that God wanted the other team to lose? Oh, you guys are a bunch of assholes. You don't deserve to win.
It's the same with the fucking Oscars, Grammys, all that bullshit.
I'd like to thank God.
It's part of the reason why I don't watch that shit.
You probably got this as a comedian. I get it as a musician. Your God-given talent to do this. No. I spent a lot of time practicing.
Yeah.
Working my ass off.
There was a lot of lonely afternoons and evenings. You know what I mean? Like, people don't realize that. Did your dog just fart again?
Oh, my Lord. You hear that, Lord? Thank you. Thank you very much for his butthole. Let me try and fan that up towards the ceiling vent.
Oh, shit.
God. How does he sleep through that?
How does he stand himself? Because, you know, granted, this is just audio, and maybe one day if we... And this is what we need, people, all right? We would love to go full video.
It's just lingering. It's lingering.
We would love to go full video. We would love to have a studio. We would love to have people who work for us and help us produce this show so we can do bigger, better, and more shows.
I just want an assistant to go walk him during the show so I don't get...
That was going to be the last thing.
Whatever I was eating.
Maybe we can get an intern for you that comes in and just takes the dog for a walk for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Here. God. And just full transparency, I'm in an RV. It's not a big space. But right now that space is taken over with butthole of dog.
Oh. Did he get into the brisket?
No, the brisket's still in the fridge. I have to give it the rub down.
Okay. I thought maybe he got into something, you know what I mean, that he shouldn't have been in.
No, that's the crazy part. It's the same old dog food. I mean, and it's not just plain dog food, because, you know, we're fancy. We give our dogs fancy dog food.
Oh.
It's like, for a big bag of it, it's like over $100.
Well, let's do a plug for it. Let's do our plugs now.
Plug.
All right. So the commercial that's not a commercial because they don't pay us, but we still love them, sweetwater.com. That's right.
I'm going to solve this right now.
.com.
Ah. Sweetwater.com. I have put a clothespin on my nose. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not.
No, you got a fucking clothespin on your nose. That's a fact. But it's
technically a chip clip.
So sweetwater.com, the sponsor that's not a sponsor, specifically shout out to Chris Smith, who always takes care of us with all of our gear, always gets us the right stuff that we need, always gives us advice on what we don't need, never tries to talk us into anything we don't need or don't want. Just a fantastic guy. So if you're looking for anything, you know, music related, production related, guitars, basses, drums, keyboards, pedals, you name it. Go to sweetwater.com, reach out to Chris Smith, tell him that Steve and Keith from Elsie's Little Pickles sent you. Eventually, we're going to get these sons of bitches to actually pony up either equipment or cash.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Now, what's your sponsor, not a sponsor?
I would like to sponsor.
Still got the fucking chip. You can't talk with a chip clip on your nose.
Oh, that actually kind of hurts because it's got ridges.
Ruffles has ridges.
I have no idea. I was thrown off by my dog's bowels.
Well, let's do a shout out to your dog's bowels. What's the food? Sure. What's the dog food?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's Science diet? No, not science diet. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, I'll wait. Oh. We got nothing else to do here. You go ahead and take your time. Tell me what kind of dog food you
eat. Oh, no, I was right. Hill Science Diet.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's making your dog's ass angry.
Bill Science Diet. Why do I suddenly sound different? What's going on here?
The other thing we need to do. You all right there?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
All right. The other one that we need to shout out to, I'm going to do a shout out this time to Jameson Black Barrel. Hopefully one day they will send me at least a case, if not a pallet of whiskey. I would say the same to Lagavulin. You are welcome to send a case or a pallet of whiskey to Elsie's Little Pickles. You know what I'd love to do? I would love to do this. And again, this is only going to be possible if people subscribe, if people support, you know, the show. You know, we're going to get to the point where we get merchandise. We're going to get to the point where we do a lot of different things. We're probably going to start a Patreon so that we can at least recoup some of our costs and hopefully make this a career for both of us and build up to the point where we can do bigger shows and have guests. However, with that being said,
he's gone.
I can't. All I'm doing is watching your face, which is, and while you're fanning your dog fart up to the ceiling.
Oh, he did it again.
Did he?
Yeah.
Maybe put him out on the fucking leash. That time
I actually heard it.
Maybe put him outside. Maybe the dog's got to take a shit. You got a leash attached to that fucking big rig, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have to take
him. Well, we're almost done anyway, so you can take him for a walk. But here's what I would like to do, all right? And this is where we need your help as listeners. What we would like to do is we would like to take our mother's bread and butter pickle recipe and several, I think she did a kosher dill too as well, but I know that I've got, I definitely have the bread and butter And that was sought after. So one of the things I would love to be able to do is get involved with a company out there that makes pickles, have them follow our mom's recipe and put out actual Elsie's Little Pickles. Now, here's the caveat. I want to do that in conjunction with a whiskey company so that we can do picklebacks. Hmm. So if that sounds like something that you as a listener would like to see, not just pickle merchandise, not just Elsie's Little Pickles merchandise, but actually being able to have tangible products. That's the goal. That's what we want. We want to be able to get to the point where we do Elsie's Little Pickles and both, you know, bread and butter, which is the one that she was famous for, dill, and then, you know, build out the brand from there, but maybe relish, maybe some stackers. Who knows? We could get crazy with this, but ultimately getting to the point where we can do picklebacks, because I don't know anyone that doesn't love a good pickleback. So we need a whiskey company and a pickle company, preferably in Michigan. I'd like to keep it in Michigan if we can, but I'm willing to go abroad. So if some distillery in Scotland or in Ireland wants to sponsor the Elsie's Little Pickles picklebacks, reach out to us at elsieslittlepickles@gmail.com.
Speaking of abroad, I think we should also get some little pickle vibrators.
Little pickle vibrator.
with the phrase "tickle your pickle."
Oh my God! No, Jesus! Why? Why?
Why?
Why, God? Why? Why?
And I would say, why not?
All right. So that's the after you've had a pickle back, and you're just looking to get on your back with a pickle.
I only ask is that the plastic or whatever they latex. Make them out of, the silicone or whatever.
Yeah,
they should have some sunglasses.
Oh yeah, yeah. So they match our logo.
That's right. It'll look like us.
Oh man, that's disturbing. All right. So, last thoughts on DC Marvel and how that works.
I cannot stress enough
for or against religion.
What's that?
And how that either works for or against religion, or how you see it in that kind of
I
scope.
Think people should just enjoy the Marvel movies, enjoy the Harry Potter movies, enjoy the Star Trek movies and TV shows.
I mean,
the Star Wars series. We're going to cover those in the future because they deserve to be talked about. Star Trek and its wokeness from the 60s all the way to now.
That's always so funny when people.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they don't.
I can't watch Star Trek. It's too woke.
When they don't understand. Oh, you know when they don't understand the history of a franchise or a series and they criticize it saying something ridiculous like that. I mean, for fuck's sake,
I'm boycotting Star Trek. I am boycotting highways by driving cross country.
Star Trek had the first interracial kiss on television between.
And that was just the start.
Kirk and Uhura. You know, I guess
there's
maybe.
There's the episode where a person, a member of the crew, was racist, and Kirk admonished him and said, "You can feel however you feel, but when you step foot onto this bridge or onto any part of the ship, you have to accept. Leave your bias in your personal space."
Mm-hmm. But see, that's, you know, one of the things I look at is first off, we are
in your quarters. That's what he said. In your leave your bias in your quarters.
We are in such a weird time. First off, we have more entertainment available to us than we've ever had. It is the golden age right now of just entertainment. I don't care what your entertainment preference is, whether that's, you know, live music, whether that's stand-up, whether that's movies, whether that's TV series, whether that's, you know, shorts on YouTube or podcasting, or there is more availability of entertainment than there ever has been before in fucking history, right?
Yep.
And the thing that I find interesting is as
what do you find interesting?
As we move forward with all of this, right? So you got all the people bitching about woke when it comes to entertainment. All right. Okay. What would you prefer? You know what I mean? Like, I get when, I even get a little bit chapped when it's like, you know, I heard the story. I don't know if this is true or not, but that series, I think it's, I don't even know what it's on. It's Shogun. Somebody in production or whatever at some point said, well, where are the black people or where are the people of color? And they're like, this is Shogun. This is Japan in feudal times.
Feudal Japan.
That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like that would piss me off if all of a sudden you had, you know, everyone represented. It should be Japanese, at bare minimum Asian, but should be Japanese actors in that. Okay? In order to be correct for what it is. Okay? Now, if you're telling me it's a post-apocalyptic sci-fi fantasy, well, yeah, fucking throw everyone in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what was that one? Oh, shit. It was based on the video game with Pedro Pascal.
The Last of Us?
The Last of Us. People were upset that Nick, oh, damn it, what's his name? From Parks and Recreation, he played the gay guy, one of the two gay guys.
Offerman,
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
Okay, so.
Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson, yep. So, like, some people I saw were like, you know, why don't they have to take this thing and make it gay? Well, I never played the video game, which I'm assuming that's what it was based off of, was the video game. Do you know?
Never played it.
But it was a video game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was based off of that. And if I'm not mistaken, those characters were in the original video game. And that's why, like, the people who played the video game were excited that they were in there. But people who were not part of the video game culture or whatever, that were coming in with their own different set of values on what they were expecting to see in this post-apocalyptic type world, decided gay people didn't exist in a post-apocalyptic type world. That's the most fucking ridiculous thing ever!
Do you know what he said in response to that?
No.
What? He did have a response.
What Offerman said?
Yes.
Oh, no, yeah. I didn't know he had a response to it.
Yeah. His response is, and I quote, "It's not a gay story. It's a love story, you asshole."
That's why I love him. I actually did an audition with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
He seems like a hell of a guy.
He was. He was just super cordial and down to earth. And like, if you didn't know he was an actor, a comedian, you would just assume, like, if he said, "I'm a woodworker," you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just super down to earth.
He was a huge...
I almost ended up on tour with him.
I would love to learn from him on woodworking.
Oh, God, the guy's a genius. Yeah, no, he's amazing with his woodworking. But I actually almost, it was interesting because I ended up on this audition and we were both auditioning. I don't even know if it was for the same part or whatever, but we were both auditioning and it was like one after the other, you know, like in line. And we were just talking or whatever. And then he said, you know, I go, "Hey, I'm, you know, I'm Steve," or whatever. And he goes, "I'm Nick Offerman." And I'm like, "Oh my God, I just got a call from my agent saying that we might end up doing some tour dates together." And it never transpired. Unfortunately, I would have loved to have worked with him. He just, even though we only had maybe 10, 15 minutes together, he was a super, super nice guy. Just incredibly nice. And very down to earth and funny. I mean, like I said, we only had 10, 15 minutes together and I bet you he made me laugh two or three times. He was just naturally witty in a very unique way. But I could see him saying that though, based on my limited experience with him, because that just falls into line with him. If you don't understand, this is a love story. It has nothing to do with them being two men. It's a love story. Now, the other side of that is you could argue, yeah, but it's also two dicks. You know what I mean?
You're just sword fighting, man.
Just
relax.
Bring it down a notch. Okay. You know, end of the world doesn't mean you have to fuck every dude that comes trampling through your property. You know, you don't have to cook them a great meal. You don't have to serve them the best wine.
I've never been that person that has an issue with that type of storytelling or that lifestyle. And just none of my business.
Well, and that's kind of where I was going with this is the idea that, okay, if you're one of those people who can't stand the idea, like I've noticed this a lot with commercials. And I don't have a problem with it aside from the logistics. This is the only thing I have an issue with is the logic and the logistics behind it. Mm. So I don't have a problem if you have, you know, mixed race couples. I don't have a problem if you have, you know, any of the LGBTQ or whatever else I'm missing on that stream of letters. No offense. I just don't know if that's where we ended it. I don't have a problem with any of that. Where I have a problem is when you see it's a white woman, a black man, and an Asian child, and they're supposed to be husband and wife. Now,
the men have adopted.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. As an adopted person myself, my instinct is to say, well, they probably just adopted a child. That's my instinct, right? But that's based on my personal experience in life, and I'm sure the same for you. But I gotta imagine, and the only reason I say I gotta imagine this is because I caught myself going, it's probably adopted. And I went, wait a minute, you're projecting your own experiences here.
Isn't that what art though is? It's all about interpretation, how you interpret things.
Okay, so same scenario. Mm-hmm. 6'2" mother, white, 6'4" father, black, okay? And I don't know, let's say a Haitian hemophiliac. So, you know, like there's some things that just don't match is all I'm getting at. Like it doesn't make sense in the little bit of storytelling time that they have. Make it easy for people to understand. Make it easy for them to identify with. If I'm starting to question whether or not the child in the commercial is adopted, I'm not paying attention to the product you're selling. That's the point that I'm getting at. You know what I mean? Like, just keep it simple enough so that I don't end up thinking about something other than what it is that you're trying to tell me. And I think that's
just
a problem.
Wondering where the grandpa is, who's 70 years old, racist as shit.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, and that's the other thing.
Past the point of understanding or caring about what he says in public.
But you never see that represented in, you know what I mean? Like, we all have that. We all have that family member. It doesn't have to be grandpa necessarily. It could be an uncle or whatever, too. But we all have that family member, and we never see them represented in these commercials. You know, like, I think, look, for as much as I disagree... For as much as I disagree with any form of bigotry, hatred, racism, or anything like that, it would be nice. It would be nice to see on like one of these medical or medicine commercials that come on where it's like the, you know, you got the boyfriend, girlfriend, or the husband, wife, or whatever, and they're mixed race. And it would be nice to see grandpa come stumbling across that and go, don't let him fool you, sweetheart. I saw him sucking dick in the fucking glory hole at the bathroom at the Texaco station. You know,
I just want to point out my dog's gas is so bad. The other dog just left. I don't know if the jingling of a collar picked up on the microphone, but the other dog was like, ah. Fucking
out. Oh, it made a little hobo bag. It took a bandana and a stick, put a fucking couple of chew toys in a bone. It's like, fuck this.
I call him my little hobo dog because he needs a haircut.
Oh, that's so funny.
He looks like a wild skunk because he's black and white. And he was just like, I'm fucking out of here.
Based on the faces you've been making, I would say that that's probably a good choice. All right. Well, I tell you what, why don't we let you air out your RV and maybe you can get, was it Romeo?
Yeah.
And Romeo's blasting
gassing it up.
All right. Maybe you can get Romeo outside. Final thoughts, superhero movies.
Watch them. Have fun with them. Fuck Martin Scorsese.
You heard it here first. Fuck Martin Scorsese. That's how I play drums.
We're talking Elsie's little pickles.